Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to be able to speak before you all once again. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. I've been talking about it quite a bit in the few times I've been here, but tonight we are going to actually go and study from the book of Hebrews in my personal favorite chapter, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be focusing in verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. So go ahead and put a marker there if you have a marker. But there's a specific individual that we're talking about here, as you can already see in your text. And this individual is none other than Abraham. Abraham was a man who was called to do many different things that would have seemed bizarre to him, that would seem bizarre to any of us. But nonetheless, no matter what it seemed to be that God commanded him to do, Abraham seemed to always do it. And he set an example that would be able to be written down in scriptures for generations to come to also walk the same as. So how important is faith in God? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I want to show the faith that Abraham had in God so that we'll have that similar faith that God will fulfill His promises to the end. Another question. What kinds of things would you be willing to do out of faith in God? What kind of things would God be able to ask you to do and you would carry them out because God asked you to do it? No matter how hard, would you do it if God asked you and if God told you? No matter how hard. Now, as we read this text, I want you to notice the emphasis that we're going to put on it. As Abraham is about to travel to a land and sacrifice his son that was birthed by his wife, his own son, he's about to sacrifice by command of God. Now, he's going to be stopped, but he's about to sacrifice by command of God. And notice how he doesn't hesitate. Notice how he does it. And what is being said to be done, and Abraham is nonetheless still willing to do it. So Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read verse 17 first. I'd like you to read there with me. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. So we read there in verse 17, something that happens back in the book of Genesis. Now I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, for history's sake, to go and get the background here. Turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 22. We're going to see what's happening. Genesis 22, this is a great act of faith that Abraham is about to show. Read with me in verse 1, chapter 22 of Genesis. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verse 3. Does Abraham hesitate? Doesn't say it there. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. As you read that text, you're going to find out that Abraham doesn't hesitate in carrying this out. God tells him to do something, and guess what he does? He does it. It doesn't matter what it is. Abraham's going to carry this out. And God even has to stop him in the end. Well, what we're seeing here is that Abraham is performing an act of faith. What kind of offering is God telling Isaac to be offered as? Telling Abraham to offer Isaac as. What kind of offering? A burnt offering. Do you know what would happen to the human body if a burnt offering was done to it? It'd be burnt to a crisp. A complete crisp. And Abraham had enough faith that God could even raise him back from the dead, as we're going to read, that he still, nonetheless, offered his son Isaac as a burnt offering that would be burned to ash, to a crisp. You see, Abraham understood something. He understood that God gives and God takes away. Everything that we have is because of God. everything that we are. The fact that we exist is because God made us. Abraham is performing an amazing, amazing act of faith, you Christians, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the emphasis. This is a burnt offering, something that would be turned to ash, complete ash. So I ask you the question, and I ask me the question, how much faith do we have in God? As we go on a daily basis, as people might mock us, persecute us, do anything to us, or maybe it's just a bad day. Maybe it's a bad situation we're in. Maybe it's a real bad, tough situation. How much faith do we have in God? That's the question. How much faith? And if we don't have that much faith, we've got to shore that up, Christians. We've got to shore that up. And we've got to get our faith in our God again. Our God loves us to the end and is long-suffering towards us. He doesn't want us to lose our souls. He doesn't want us to suffer in this life. Yes, He helps us in this life. And you're going to see in this account that He will help Abraham, that He will stop Abraham from doing this. But God allows some things to happen in our lives as tests. He allows these things to happen. He allows tests to take place for the good of us, for the benefit of us. And sometimes we might think, God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, why can't you let this happen to someone else? I can't take it anymore, God. I can't take it. Well, first of all, why are you blaming God so much? Could be Satan. Second of all, God tests. God tests. Did He test Jesus? He even tested Jesus, His own Son, God Himself. Remember when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness? Yeah. But did Jesus fall? No. He set the perfect example that we could all follow. God tests every man and woman. Every man and woman that has ever lived and ever will live. And He does this for great purposes that we read in the Scriptures. And it helps us. And He's doing the same thing with Abraham. As well, the test is also as to whether or not we'll obey Him. So whether or not we'll trust Him, we'll obey Him. And certainly such is going to be seen of Abraham. He both trusts and obeys. And I love the song that we just sung. Thank you, brother. That was a great, fantastic song that was just sung. And it goes right in line with this lesson. Abraham exemplifies that very thing. So God makes promises. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's turn back there. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to notice what's happening here now. Hebrews 11 and verse 18. Continue there. Hebrews 11, 18. Read that with me. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. I want you to remember that it was actually through Isaac's seed that the Messiah would come. You remember that? Go back to Genesis 22 and read it. It was actually through his seed that he would come. So now think about it in your heads. God is telling Abraham to sacrifice the son of which the Messiah would come. Does that make any sense? God's telling Abraham to sacrifice this son who is supposed to be the one that will bless all the generations of the earth. His seed will do that. The Messiah would come through him. Well, it doesn't make sense, does it? But nonetheless, Abraham does what? He still does it. Because it doesn't matter what Abraham's thinking. It doesn't matter what he's feeling. It doesn't matter how much love he has for Isaac specifically. What matters is that he carries out the command of God. What matters is that he does the will of his Creator. Abraham understood this. And so many of these men and women in this hall of faith, so to say, they got it. They figured it out. It's not about what we want. It's about what God tells us to do. You think God doesn't know best? You think God doesn't know best for us? Of course He does. Of course He does. I asked you the question last time. How old is God? How old is God? Every time I ask that question, I hear chuckles in the audience. How old is God? You think He knows best? Yeah, I'd say He knows best. And I'd say He's proved Himself that He knows best. And that also He carries out His promises. That also He loves us enough to do certain things for us. So many things for us. In fact, He started out with creating us. So if it wasn't enough for Him to create us, then He makes this whole plan that involves even God Himself, Jesus, And then he has him die for his own creation so that we can go and live with him in heaven. God did this for us. A divine being that doesn't even have to do this. He can do whatever he wants. You realize that? If God wanted to, he could snap this whole universe out of existence. He could think it or not even think it because he's so powerful. But nonetheless, he loves us so much and he just lets it keep going because there's always going to be a remnant that are eventually going to go join him up there someday. We're going to join him in heaven. We're that remnant, Christians. We're that church. We're that kingdom of God. Do you know that? Abraham had that faith. He had that belief that God would deliver him no matter what happened, no matter what command God gave him. Abraham believed in God and in his commandments. So Hebrews 11:19. We'll read that now. 11:19. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So we see here the Holy Spirit is actually telling us that Abraham had it in his mind that he knew that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Now tell me a prior account recorded to Abraham sacrificing his son that he would know that God can raise people from the dead. Is there a prior account? Is there one before that that happens? I don't ever see one. Abraham has faith in God to do something that's never been done before. Do you realize that? He has faith in God that he will raise his son back from the dead, literally from death itself, that he will resurrect his body from being an ash corpse, literally ash. He will resurrect that body, put the skin back together, put the heart back together, put it all back together, completely reform everything into a perfectly healthy human being. Abraham has that faith that God will do that. That is amazing, amazing faith. That is fantastic, awesome faith that we all should be looking to on a daily life. We all should look to that kind of faith. Abraham figured it out. Don't you get that? He figured it out. God will take care of him. And he knew that. It doesn't matter what happened. Abraham had the belief in God and in his power that he could even raise his son back up. And certainly he didn't even have to do that because God just stopped him. He just stopped him when he was in the process. But did Abraham hesitate? No. He was ready to kill Isaac. He had the knife. He was ready to do it. But then God stopped him with an angel. The angel came and stopped him. Said, Abraham, don't do it. And all right, Isaac's probably sitting there on the altar, Dad, you know, can you get me off the altar now? But think about the faith that was exemplified. I mean, that's just awesome, brethren and friends. I just can't express to you enough the amount of faith that this man has in this moment, that he would be willing to kill his son with a knife and then burn him on an altar as an offering, literally burn him to death. So he had that faith that God could raise his son back up. And of course, there were no prior recorded resurrections. So then the question to us as Christians, is in a point of application, is would we have that same faith today? If God asked us to sacrifice our only child, would we do it? Or would we hesitate? Or would we walk away? Would we say, God, why are you asking me to do this? I don't want to do this, God. How could you ask me to do something like that? People do that today, don't they? Sometimes we're guilty of doing that because we always think we know what's best. Me, myself, and I know what's best. God doesn't. Well, that's not the case. God actually does know what's best. And He does what's best for all of us. He does. Doesn't matter what kind of illness we're going through. Doesn't matter what kind of problem is happening in our life, God's going to take care of us, whether it's physically or if it's ultimately spiritually. If we are a child of God, guess where you're going, Revelation 2:10. You're going to inherit the crown of life. You're going to heaven. If you are a faithful Christian, you are going to heaven. I'm not scared of death. And you say, well, you're 20 years old. Why would you ever be scared of death? Actually, I look to every single day as my last day on earth because I figured something out in my life. It could happen 5 seconds from now. It could happen next tomorrow. And I don't know when it's going to happen. So I trust in my God and I obey my God. You see? Are you getting it now? Is it coming to you? Christians, this is what it's about. It's about trusting in God, obeying God, and then getting to heaven. Getting to that heavenly home that we are all waiting for, and we've all been waiting for so long in our lives. Think about how the Jews waited for the Messiah. How the Israelites waited so long for Jesus to come. And then when He came, what did they do? They spat on Him, rejected Him, and crucified Him. Are we going to do the same to the offering of heaven through Christ? I'm not going to spit on God. I'm not going to spit on Christ. If He's offering me salvation, I'll take it. I don't see it being offered by divine authority anywhere else. I don't see miracles being performed by anyone else, real ones. So no, I'll take the Bible. I'll take the real God, the God of the universe. I'll take Christ, the Son of God. Will you? Do you trust in your God, Christians? Do you obey your God on a daily basis? How much do you? Maybe the first one more. How much do you trust in Him? Now, I can tell you, I can be the first one to admit, I haven't trusted in my God a whole lot throughout my life. I haven't. I haven't trusted in my God. And because of that, I made a lot of mistakes, and everyone does because of that same reason. But you have to learn, Christians. It doesn't matter what problems come up in your life. You've got to know that God knows best. And you've got to know that He's going to deliver you in the end, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. We talked about this, all the government stuff this morning, how they may attack us, you know, someday with how wicked this society is getting. Well, we have a heavenly home that lasts for eternity. And we'll be there as spirit beings with God, just as He is. Just as holy angels are that are there right now. Just as Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is. They're all spiritual. It's a whole spiritual realm waiting for us. God's there waiting for us, and His light lights up that whole city. It's magnificent. That's waiting for us. That's the same faith that Abraham had to do such a thing. He had this faith that God could deliver His son. And Abraham had faith that He could even deliver him after death. He could take his spirit from the spiritual realm and place it back into the body of Isaac. Abraham had that kind of faith. Do you? Do you? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. And do you have the belief that when you die, it's not just a last breath, but you're going to be opened and exposed to a massive spiritual realm, a spiritual world that you've never seen before? That's amazing. That the last breath isn't all it is. That that's not the final chapter. You know what the final chapter is, Christians? The final chapter is with God for eternity in heaven. That's the final chapter in the Christian life. That's the final chapter in the book. You want to get into Hebrews chapter 11 in the Great Hall of Faith? How much do you trust in your God? What kind of works do you do for your God? What works of faith do you perform for your God? To please Him. Not to please men or to please me, but to please God. Hebrews 11:6, what does it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. There's no possibility that you can please God without belief in Him and in His power. You see, as we talked about it, all these different people from all these different backgrounds who ever followed the true God, they figured it out. They figured it out. The men and women of faith who are listed in this Bible, they figured it out. It's about trusting in God and obeying in God and knowing that He will deliver you in the end, no matter what happens. no matter what happens. That's why Jeremiah the prophet got thrown in prison. That's why likely Isaiah got sawn in half by the Assyrians whenever he was prophesying God. That's why all these prophets lost their lives and all the apostles lost their lives for the cause of Christ and for the cause of God. They lost their lives because they trusted and obeyed God. All of them. Different backgrounds, different languages, different civilizations, different places, different counties. All of these people trusted in their God and obeyed Him. Are we going to do the same? Will we ever pick up the mantle, Christians? Will we ever take up the mantle and spread the gospel across this world, Matthew 28? Will we ever do it? How many people do we see on a daily basis? How many people? You know how many people there are in this world? Estimates say 7.8 billion. You know how many spirits there are in this world? Estimates say 7.8 billion. That's 7.8 billion souls that we got to figure out how to save. That's 7.8 billion souls that God finds equally precious in His sight. You see the point? We have work to do. We have work to fill these pews and to have this place packed to the brim, and there's people going out the doors, and we have to expand this place because there's so many people. We have to move somewhere else because there's so many people. We got to trust in our God no matter what happens. We got to obey Him and the commandments He gives us, because faith to God is so incredibly important. And to Abraham, faith was everything. So if faith was everything to Abraham, and this example is given to us in the Bible, so amazing, such an amazing example, the Holy Spirit gives it Himself to us in the book of Hebrews, as certainly He was the inspiration. If He gives that example, and He shows us this is how we ought to be, shouldn't we also be doing the same thing? Shouldn't we have this same kind of faith in God? Absolutely. We should have this same kind of faith in our God. We should be willing to perform the very same action that Abraham performed. Whenever he was tested, we should also be able to be tested and then pass the test. Christians, it's not like a test that you got to study for in that way, like with school or anything else. If you love your God and you obey Him, it comes natural. If you choose not to sin, if you choose to walk in the light as He is in the light and you're a Christian, it's not hard. It's not. You can please God and you can be found acceptable in His sight. If you're a Christian and you live your life faithfully, that's that last step in the plan of salvation, remember? We always think it stops with being baptized, but it doesn't. It stops whenever you're dead. When you've remained faithful all of your life. That's when it stops. A lot of people tend to forget that. I'm thinking of a few denominations in particular who think that you can just do whatever you want. Was Abraham able to just do whatever he wanted? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. And when he did what God wanted, it seems like he even got his son saved for it. Because he performed that work of faith and God commended him. And then he wrote him in the book of Hebrews in the Great Hall of Faith. You see the point? You see the point? It's not about what we want or what we feel or what we think. It's about trusting and obeying in our God who created us. Faith is incredibly important to God. It's incredibly important also to us. It should be. James chapter 2. Let's turn there as our last few references. James chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. We're going to read verses 20 through 24. James 2, 20 through 24. Read this with me. 20 through 24, chapter 2 of James. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Here's the example. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Abraham did this, and he was called a friend of God. Because he did this. Not because he just believed in God. Not because he just stopped and he said, God, I believe that you're telling me to take Isaac to the land of Moriah, and I believe you're telling me to kill him, but all right, God, thanks. And then he just stopped. He didn't even do it. That's not how it worked. He actually carried it out. So what does that tell us, denominational friends that we talk to? What does that tell us? It tells us that faith and works actually go together. It tells us that we have to have faith and we have to have works. It tells us that we actually have to do something in order to be acceptable before God. It doesn't just end with believing in God. God, I believe in you. All right, I'm going to go sin. Nope, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. God, I believe in you. I'm going to listen to every word you say. Every word you tell me, for you created me, and I respect you, and I love you just as you love me. I'm going to do what you say. That's how it works. That's how it works. And it really is simple as that. But a lot of people can't deal with this. It's got to be their way or the highway. Me, myself, and I, we deal with that a lot in this country especially. We really struggle with that. Me, myself, and I. You ever heard the song, None of Self and All of Thee? One of my favorite songs. It starts out saying, all of self and none of thee, as in the thee as in God. But then it gets down, some of self, some of thee, and then finally, none of self, all of thee. I love that song. Because that's whenever you hit it. That's whenever you figure it out. Just like Abraham figured it out. He figured out, well, I could have my son. I could continue having my son, the one God gave me in the first place, because God gives us our children. God gives us everything we have. So I could keep him and I could not listen to God. Or I could do what God says, carry it out, and then be found acceptable before God. Which one am I going to choose? Well, he chose to be found acceptable before God. He chose to perform a work that God commanded him to do. And for such, he's written down in the Scriptures in both the Old and New Testaments as example, so that we also can walk the same way. And he's reemphasized many times this very example, as we just saw in the book of James as well. James 2, 14 through 17. We'll read this and then we'll be done. James 2, 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now this is, I think, hilarious. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Pretty straightforward and simple. I love the book of James. It does a lot of that. John's like that as well in a lot of places. But faith and works, they go together. Belief. Every time you see the word belief in the Bible, in the original Koine, it goes along with works. Every single time. Every single time. It's not a faith that you do nothing about. It's a faith that you do something about. If you believe in God, you got to act on it. That's how it works. Figure it out, friends. Figure it out, Christians. Be like Abraham. See what he just did? You see what he just did? The selflessness he just showed? What he was willing to give to God? Because he knew that God gives and God takes away. You see the selflessness? We struggle with that in our society. Especially in this one. We really, really do. Really do. Realize that we have got to trust in our God. We got to put Him first. We have to obey Him. Christians, if you have any need tonight, we're all guilty of sin. We've all sinned in the past. Not that we're guilty right now. We've been washed of our sins. But if you have sin in your life right now, you need to get it corrected. You need to get that sin corrected, whether it's publicly or privately. It's before you and your God. Every one of us will be held accountable. Get that right. Pray to your God and ask for forgiveness. And if not, if you want to do it right here, right now, come to the front. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you right now. Get it corrected. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to become a Christian. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then be baptized into the water for salvation. To be added into the kingdom of God and to receive forgiveness of your sins. Every sin you've ever committed, every evil, you will receive forgiveness. And then remain faithful until death, as we talked about. And you will receive the what? The crown of life. You will receive heaven. And you'll be just as good as anyone written in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Just as good. If you have a need, brethren and friends, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus, I come.